Hello and welcome back to Spill the Chai. This is our second season, season two, with me as ever, Rabia.
And me, Ritha.
And we have a special guest.
Yay! It's me, Emi Ito.
Emi Ito. I'm so glad that you are on our first episode of season two, and you are our second ever guest, so I'm very very excited.
It's an honor to have you.
Definitely.
Oh gosh,
definitely.
Well,
and for those
thank you
who aren't familiar with you, Emi, for me you're a multitude of brilliance, and you're so many things. Like, to me you're like a sister and a friend. I feel like we've spoken, you know, quite regularly, if not daily, at least a couple times a week for the past 18 months or more.
2-3 years, I think, now.
Yeah.
That's wild. That's wild.
Yeah.
But you're an educator, a campaigner. You do amazing work with JAs for Justice. I know you were the founder from Buy from BIPOC. I especially, I think, got to know a lot of your work through your writing on cultural appropriation, which is amazing. I love how you celebrate your Japanese heritage. You're also a transracial adoptee, and you identify as queer. Can I say that? Is that how you would say?
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
You're a parent, like I'm a parent, Rilla's a parent. I think we also relate a lot when it comes to things like interracial marriage and navigating those dynamics. I love how recently you've also been opening up about sort of your the role that Buddhism plays in your life and those teachings. You've got a capsule collection with 2 days on our clothing.
I know.
I'm just like, when I was writing this intro, I was kind of like, wow, this person is my friend. Like, how, like, why is she friends with me? Because you're seriously cool. And I think overall what I'm inspired by is how you show up, period. Like, there's how you show up for your community, how you show up for other communities, how you show up for yourself, for your daughter. Just how you show up in general is really inspiring to me. And yeah, I love you. And this episode is dedicated to celebrating you and is in your honor and our rich tea topic, because something that all three of us have in common beyond our deep empathy is we're geeks. And I love that about us. I love us. So welcome to the show, Emi. It's an honor. And I'll just pause there and let Ritha come in as well, so she can also wax lyrical about your amazingness.
Oh my goodness.
I don't know what more I can add to that. That's easy. I felt emotional just hearing all of those things, because it's true. Because
it's true.
I always tell you, I have such a deep love and respect for you, and it is an honor and privilege in every way possible to call you, as you know, I do consider you a sister and a friend, like deeper than a friend, and it's an honor always to chat with you, whether it's about something we're annoyed about, something we're celebrating, just normal chit chat. Even within that, I feel like you always impart some kind of wisdom or grace, even when you're in really tricky situations or like people are really shitty to you. I've just learned, and like genuinely I've learned and grown so much just from distantly being in your company. So thank you for being here with us.
Oh my goodness. I don't think I've ever been introduced in such a in a just beautiful and deep way. So I'm really just bursting. I don't even know how to handle this. My head's going to explode. My heart's going to explode. But I have just the privilege and honor of knowing incredible, phenomenal humans like the two of you. And I just feel like any good that I put out in the world is just because I'm blessed by being held by, you know, ancestors, community that challenged me to be the best version of myself. And I am just count myself so lucky to have the two of you in my circle teaching me, inspiring me, and helping me be that best version that I'm striving to be each day.
Ditto.
Very imperfectly, very clumsily, but I just am so grateful to be here and to know you both. And, you know, I don't know if people know, we've never met in person yet still. So all of our communications have been just online, and still I feel this bond with both of you, and really hoping next summer can be the summer we finally meet in person.
I pray. And ditto. It's the feeling is completely mutual. And I'm so glad that we get to do this episode together. We've had quite a few, like, we bonded, like, let's get into how we first got to know each other, and then we can go into all the geeky stuff. But
yeah,
I feel like over the last few years, you know, I think our friendship initially were forged in the fires of really standing up and being vocal against inequity, whether it was people that were exploiting us, or appropriating, or completely excluding us from certain circles. We kind of found ourselves in the fire, really, and that's where, you know, kind of that's where our bonds have been formed. And it's so interesting that for me, that when we showed up in those situations, maybe initially we were showing up for ourselves and for each of ourselves to be seen, but in those moments we also saw each other. And I think it's just beautiful that over the years we found more ways to communicate and see each other in other lights, in other spheres. And yeah, it's I think that as an adult it's hard to make friendships when you start, you know, it's harder to make new adult friends. So for me, having someone like you in, again, like, be in my life, and it for us to be in each other's lives. If someone told a 16-year-old version of me that I would be surrounded by these amazing amazing friends, of which, and I said this on Instagram, it's not quantity, it's quality of friends. I think I can count on one hand who I would call, you know, very close. I just feel if the younger version of me saw what they saw today, I think they'd be pretty blown away, you know? So, yeah, absolutely. That's kind of...
Do you know what I was thinking when you when you were talking about how, you know, it's kind of a geeky meeting in a way, like on the internet. Yeah. We like banded together. Oh my God, yes. Like superheroes, and like fought off like racist shitheads, and then like now we're friends and have the best of time.
Avengers Assemble.
Yeah, so, or like true. X-Men or Lord of the Rings, like all of the things.
If it was Lord of the Rings, who would be Gandalf? I just like, what characters? Aja would be Aja. So she's like, yeah, she's the, like, she lights the way. And then who would I be?
I'd be one of the hobbits with the hairy bare feet.
I'm a hobbit, sure. Because I'm a short person.
I mean, I am a hobbit. You're in the 5 foot two.
I love eating.
You're in the 5 foot two crew, aren't you?
No, you're a little bit totally. Taller.
No, you are. You are 5 foot two.
We're all the same height.
5 foot two crew.
That's so cute.
We're the Hobbit crew.
We were destined to be hobbits.
Yes.
Or the Powerpuff Girls, maybe.
That's true. That is true. Let's get into our... but no, actually, before we get into our rich tea topic, like, you've done loads of stuff. I'm totally putting you on the spot there, but where are you at the moment, just in life, and what's coming up for you next? Because I wanna hear it. I'm nosy.
Oh gosh. Well, I'm in the midst of a summer break with my child, and we're going on wonderful water adventures, swimming. She just learned how to swim without her life jacket on. Aww. And she's very proud of herself. We're also very proud of her. And that's been just delightful to have that kind of time to nurture that growth and expansion in her world and be there to support and witness it. So that's been very exciting this summer. And I'm preparing for a new job, which I'm feeling loads of imposter syndrome about, and trying to just talk myself off that ledge and remind myself it's just white supremacy, just, you know, that same old white supremacist narrative. Yeah. Telling you you're not worthy, and I am.
They wouldn't have given you the job otherwise. Remember
yeah,
that.
Yeah, and then some. You're worthy and then some.
Thank you. So I have to keep, you know, giving myself affirmations. But I'm leaving the classroom and school setting for the first time in my teaching career. This will be the beginning of my 18th year of teaching. Wow. So that's very emotional. I'm not going to be working with children on a daily basis anymore, aside from my own child.
Yeah.
So that's huge and feels really tender. And so I'll be stepping into a more district-wide role in my school district in the Bay Area, where I'll be helping to coordinate a rollout and curriculum for... transitional kindergarten through 12th grade of an ethnic studies program in our school district, which is a huge job. So I'm feeling excited. I'm feeling very intimidated and nervous, but also really hopeful that our school district is even funding this position right now, especially against the backdrop of all the... Just the vitriol and violence and pushback against critical race theory and ethnic studies in our schools and in our classrooms for our children. So I'm feeling hopeful. So preparing for that, and you mentioned the 2 days off capsule collection. So that's still happening. That's still out in the world, and people are slowly getting their pieces. 2 days off is a clothing brand started by this wonderful human, dear friend, Gina Stovall. And she creates beautiful, sustainable garments. And I approached her last summer about doing a small 5-piece clothing collection in honor of my mother. I was turning 40 and entering into the decade where both my parents passed of AIDS. My mother died when she was 44 and my father died when he was 47. So it was just a really big milestone to enter into my 40s and amidst another global pandemic. So I felt like I really had this urgency around wanting to leave some kind of legacy in honor of them, as an example for my own child, because I was just feeling my own mortality pretty acutely. Yeah. And I wanted to do something joyful and creative and generative to kind of just celebrate life and celebrate my parents, celebrate my child, celebrate myself, and my friendship with Gina. So we created these pieces together, inspired by clothing I still own of my mother's, but also just photographs of pieces that I always loved that I remember her wearing. And so that's been an incredible experience to see those pieces, slowly trickling out into the world this summer. And so that's also been really lovely. And I'm rambling, so the last thing I'll share is...
Ramble away. This is I love a ramble.
So one thing I geek out about is astrology. I love astrology. So I'm a Cancer. My partner, my husband, Hank, is Cancer. Our wedding anniversary is in July. So we just have a lot of like Cancerian
energy,
emotional milestones, energy in this month. So we've been doing a lot of celebrating of our relationship, of each other, and his birthday's coming up. So that's also been really fun.
Lovely. Yeah. That's so nice. Yeah. And I just loved listening to what was coming up for you, because I feel like your change in job is going to put you on a bigger stage. You're going to have a lot more influence in terms of that, kind of influencing how, you know, that will impact schools and children. I think that's a really exciting role, and I can understand that there may well be a grieving process where you are less at the coal face, if you like, you know, less sort of exposed day to day to actually teaching children. But I think it's amazing that you'll have such a wide impact and such a wide influence in your new role. I just know you will, because I've seen how you move and how you operate and how you show up, and I just know you're going to be great at it. So I'm so excited, you know, to hear how that's going. And I know you're nervous, but
I'm so nervous.
You needn't be. You've got a track record of brilliance. So I'm so excited for you. And
thank you.
Let's get into the rich tea. I've got a question for both of you. So I'm going to go to Ritha first, because I'm going to ask you the same question. But Ritha, what makes you a geek?
What makes me a geek? What doesn't make me a geek? I feel like I've always just been really, like, I think people look at you and they expect you to be a certain way, or like perhaps, you know, it's the way you carry yourself online and things like that. But actually I'm really... I think I'm everything. I'm geeky, dorky, goofy, nerdy, dweeby. I could do them all. I can do the whole range.
Spectrum.
But I think from an early age, it was definitely being into sort of fantasy and point horror books. And like, I think my first like big geeky thing was Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Oh,
so like, same. I had like the lunchbox, everything. It was the best. I loved them, and I guess, I don't know, I was reflecting on this earlier actually for this episode, and I think it's just that I always related most to people who were like a combination of things, or a little bit weird in some way, or I don't know, because you don't really fit in to normal spaces, or do you know? So then the closest thing you find are like superheroes, aliens, animals, that kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
Is there one true way to be a geek? I'm not sure there is.
No, not, definitely, definitely not. And what are you both into at the moment, which, you know, you would consider to be geeky?
So I have always loved science fiction and fantasy. Reading it, watching it for sure. Big time into Star Trek, like all the Star Treks except for that god-awful one. It was so bad I couldn't watch it. Enterprise.
Oh yeah.
I tried.
Which one was that?
It was supposed to be like a prequel to the original.
Was that the Sam Beckett one? The one that used to be from Quantum Leap. Does anyone remember Quantum Leap?
Hello.
Definitely rings a bell.
Quantum Leap was my favorite show. I feel like because nobody else watched that but me and my parents. And obviously you.
Because I think that... Was it made in like the early 2000s, that one?
Yeah.
Then it's that one. It is that one. I didn't watch that one either. I couldn't get on board with it.
No.
But my all-time favourite is Next Generation. I think it's just classic.
It is. It is. I mean, I, and just so you can, like, I can, you know, legitimize my geek membership, I have gone to 2 Star Trek conventions with my partner. That's actually one way he and I bonded, was aww, over Star Trek, and we had like little Star Trek themes in our wedding as well.
Oh, that's so cute. That's very geeky.
We had like a Love Long and Prosper banner. We had little Star Trek badges that we made for people. I know, it was very
I wish I was there.
I know.
I wish you were too. I kind of like, you know, we were taught, you know, we just had our, oh, what was it, 9-year wedding anniversary. We've been together 11 years. And we were just talking about it, and like our wedding guest list would be completely different. Well, not completely, but fairly different.
Same.
Now,
so
as compared to when we got married. We're like, we should just do this over again. At some point, we'll have to have a big party, maybe the 20-year.
Yeah, I'll be there.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. That's and we'll definitely have to like just go all out with those Star Trek themes. They were kind of subtle. They were a little bit more subtle at our wedding. But yeah, I've gone to the conventions and really like full on loved being at the conventions. It was like a homecoming in a way. And just seeing Michael Dorn, who plays Worf.
Yeah.
I just got overwhelmed, and like I really wanted to go and speak to him, and I just like I couldn't. I just clammed up, and Hank was like, just go talk to him, like I'll take a picture of the two. I was like, I can't do it. He's like such a childhood, you know, role model superhero.
Yeah,
so
absolutely. Can you speak Klingon?
All I remember is kapla. All I remember.
I can't speak Klingon.
No, I think that's like their cheers.
Oh, that's a good one to know.
I think that's what it means. I really can't remember though. But I'm also loving the new Star Trek is so good.
So good.
Discovery.
I love it. Really, I love it. I love it. I love it. Love it. Love it. Love it.
Yeah.
It's so good. I feel like they've just taken it up a notch, and everything is just, I mean, it's a little bit cheesy, but I love the cheesiness.
Of course.
I love the cheesiness because, you know, again, it's all about people being, oh, there's just so many facets to them, and like the way that they connect, because, you know, they're all a little bit different or going through things. They talk about very difficult emotions and the way that we change, the way they talk about, you know, different gender identities, and things are really explored in a really wide way. Like, I feel like more than ever, like they've always done it. It's always been that cheesy, wholesome element to it, which I've loved. But I feel like in Discovery, they've just taken it up a notch, and but I'm there for it. I'm there for the storylines, and there for the, because I know there's been some criticism for it, for having like that whole parallel universe and whatever, and being like, you know, people thought it was a bit of a fob off, but I felt like it wasn't. And I mean, I don't want to give spoilers to anybody who hasn't watched it, but in the second season, I feel like they explore it more. I don't want to give spoilers, but you've watched it all,
it's
haven't
so good.
You?
I've watched, well, I paused because I felt guilty I was watching it without my partner.
Oh.
And he got kind of mad at me. So I'm part way through, and
we're
going
to
go back and rewatch it together. Yeah.
Okay. I'll shush then.
Yeah.
Because they do, I feel like they do, I don't know. You'll get to it, and it will be, it's a nice, it doesn't feel like, oh, we'll just have another parallel, we'll have another parallel world, and then that'll be it, and, you know.
I have gotten to that part. I think it's so good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very well done.
I think it's
very,
and I think the acting's really good, and, what's it, I can't remember my name. I'm so bad at remembering names, but you know Saru, he's the one with the long arms, he's really tall, and he comes from another planet. and there are not very many of him left.
Oh, yes. Yes, 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 yes.
So Saru, okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I really love his character and, mm-hmm. like, the way that they explore his identity. And they talk about, you know, extinction and, like, they talk about refugees and they talk about all of these, mm-hmm. like, displacement and supremacy and all of that. You know, they cover it all. They cover it all. So, yeah, I really love it, is the full stop. But yeah, Saru, I think his character's really interesting. And of course, I love Sonequa Martin Green, mm-hmm. as She's Michael. Amazing. She's so good. She's so good. I really loved her in Walking Dead as well. But
yes, I know, me too.
Yeah.
I actually kind of stopped watching that series after,
same.
You know, after you know what happens.
I know. No spoilers here. But yeah, okay. What about you, Ruby? What are you watching?
What am I watching? Well, I'm watching Loki at the moment.
Oh, so yeah.
It's the final episode today.
It's so good.
I've not seen it yet because of the Neither time difference.
Me so, and Zora watch it together.
We're not caught up either.
Oh, you're not caught up? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we're on the final episode. Really, really love that. It reminds me of Doctor Who. Did you ever get into Doctor Who? Oh my god, are you a Whovian as well?
Well, my father is the whole reason I'm a geek. Oh. So I grew up watching the original Doctor Who.
Yeah. Amazing.
Original Star Trek, Next Generation. Like, that was my childhood.
Yeah. Yeah. But same. I mean, same. I didn't get into Doctor Who in a big way, but I watched it because my dad watched it.
Same.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Same here. So yeah, I've been into Loki and... generally speaking, anything in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, I'm into it. And mm-hmm. I mean, it hasn't been great for representation in terms of South Asians. It's been pretty pants, but hopefully, I think in the Eternals, there is, oh my God, I've forgotten his name. Kumail Nanjiani? Mm-hmm. I think that's his name. I've probably mm-hmm. butchered it.
So I'm the wrong person to ask.
Obviously they did brilliantly with Black Panther, but traditionally speaking, they haven't done well with their female characters either. I think they've usually not been given the kind of screen time. So I think they did better with the likes of WandaVision, same. But yeah, anything that's magic or sci-fi or space or aliens or, you know, mythological...
Werewolves, vampires.
Give
me them all.
I actually went through, like, last month, Ruther knows this, I went through rewatching the entire Buffy the Vampire series from, like, season 1 to season 5. I just had to get it out of my system. Wow. And I really... Mm-hmm. What was interesting to me watching it now as a 35-year-old woman versus when I watched it back when I was 15, 16, so I was like 20 years old, and it was, for me, it was revolutionary to see a physically strong woman who could take care of vampires, and it's not particularly woke. It does touch on some things, and there were some I noticed littered throughout some of the seasons, now and again, there'd be some fatphobic comment made. So it wasn't particularly aware of itself. But then there were some parts of it where it was aware of itself. And mm-hmm. I just really enjoy things that take me out of the current world, put me somewhere new. It feels like pure escapism and play and fantasy. So yeah, I watched that. What else have I loved or loving that's made me a geek? I think, I'm not sure if it's geeky, but I think all three of us have a love of Studio Ghibli. Am I right in thinking that?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. I think it is. Mm-hmm. It can, anything can be geeky
if you're into it. if you're into it, for sure. And I notice that the people that I get on with, that I vibe with, they usually like Studio Ghibli. So for my wedding, we had like the theme was like epic love stories. And so every table was, every table had a picture of like a, you know, like a famous or like a love story, like couple. I can't remember. Do you remember which table you were sat at with us?
I was sat on Ponyo and Sosuke.
Really? I was sat on Ponyo and Sosuke. That was the head table. Yeah, it was.
No, it wasn't. Oh, what was I sat on then? Oh, maybe I just remember it. In my head, I was sat on
the Ponyos. Head table was like the Ponyo and Sosuke table, and then maybe there were others like
I want to be there.
There was like Robin Hood and like Maid Marian, but the Disney version with the foxes. And
there were
other epic love stories, but ours was like
so
the Ponyo and Sosuke table, and my not the walking down the aisle, but you know, once you're married and you leave. It was the music from Ponyo when she's like riding the waves.
Oh,
that was like my exit music. It made me so happy. I love that. It was like
it's such happy music. I love that image of her so much when she's winning. Me too. I've got like a little cartoon.
That's amazing. Oh, I love that. Another wedding I wish I could have been at.
Honestly, for sure. The guest list would be totally different.
So different. So different. We need to just have a mass geek wedding. Like, can we just have one together?
Maybe just to celebrate ourselves.
Yeah.
Just to celebrate us. We don't even have to celebrate the unions with our partners. We could just celebrate
fuck
us.
No, fuck them.
I mean, fuck them. Mine's currently downstairs making soup, so I'm not going to slag him off just yet, otherwise I won't get fed. what else makes us geeks? What else do we love?
Well, I'm reading, first of all, which I'm so proud of myself. I've been reading physical books very, very slowly. Ever since having my child, reading books has been...
It's hard.
A mountain.
It's so hard. Yeah, I saw one of your stories today that looked interesting.
Yeah, so it's N.K. Jemisin's Broken Earth trilogy. I'm on the final book. I did listen to the first two. Which I love listening to books. I need to do that more. But this third one I am borrowing from a friend, which is why it's a physical book. It's going very slowly, but it's an amazing trilogy. I think they're making it into films.
Sweet.
In the next, I don't know, near future. And, you know, a lot of her stories, or certainly this one, it's very apocalyptic, it's really intense, but I love it because it's also about just surviving and thriving, and you know, these are big themes. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people are grappling with right now.
Absolutely.
The way the world is going, I mean, you know, being in California, you know, we're just bracing ourselves for, you know, the wildfires are already starting, but just for it getting worse and worse.
Yeah.
And you know, that's just always kind of looming in the back of my community's minds, for sure, being in the Bay Area. Mm. But reading these books actually like uplift me, make me feel like we will get through one way or another. Like,
yeah.
We have this.
Because we have to find the way, and we have the capacity to find a way, because we've done it before. You know, we do have the capacity to do that. And that's what I love about these big stories. Sometimes they feel, it's not real, but actually the themes are universal. And it's why I loved, like, for many years, especially during university, I'm surprised I even made any friends there, because I had a huge Legolas poster from Lord of the Rings on my wall, and I thought it was brilliant. And everybody else
I was
normal.
More of a Strider girl.
Yeah. You know what? Yeah. I probably am now, but like everyone else was normal, and they would put like photographs of their friends and family on their wall. Me, no. I had a huge Legolas poster. I mean, it was taller than me. It almost looked life size.
Oh, wow.
And I was into, and I would watch it, like I'd watch Lord of the Rings almost like a comfort film. It's like a comfort blanket. And I just loved the themes of like the solidarity between, you know, Frodo and Samwise, or just the friendship and the camaraderie. I think sometimes in these films, I was looking for something that I wish I had, that I didn't have, but it was like there. It was like that's where I could, find it. And like still to this day, like I will turn to certain films because somewhere in there I find some comfort or some joy or some hope. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, exactly. Like I always felt like I didn't quite fit in for a variety of reasons. And so I definitely gravitated towards like fantasy and sci-fi and anything otherworldly for that reason. And actually at first it was books, so it was like one of the books that I read the most as a child was The Wizard of Oz. And I'm sorry, it's super geeky. It's very camp as well. There's so many, I just love it. There are just so many good things about The Wizard of Oz. And then it was like point horror books. So I've really always been into like vampires, especially. I don't know why, but vampires.
Me too, yes.
And like,
should we talk
honestly,
about your Edward Cullen obsession?
Oh no, have I spoken about?
I don't like him anymore.
Oh my god, isn't he going to be like? Who's he going to be? Batman or someone? And I'm like, I'm not sure. Our Pats. I don't think that this is for you.
Did you like him in Tenet?
Oh, you know what? It took me a while because he annoyed me a bit in Tenet, and then. And then it was okay. Then I got used to him not being Edward, not pale. Have you watched Twilight, Emmy?
Oh yeah, no, I read the books.
Yes, me too.
I watched the movies. I also, for the True Blood series, I watched the whole series. I also read all the books.
Oh, I've not watched True Blood yet. So,
what? And you like vampires?
I know. Oh my gosh. I know. I've never really had the chance to watch it, basically. Like, it's never been able to be streamed in some way. So, I've got that to watch. I did not read the Twilight books, okay? I had the books, and I just didn't read them, and basically short story, nothing of note, to just didn't read them, but it was like I liked most of the movies to a point. They're a little bit crappy.
Well, but they're first very movie, problematic.
Yeah, the first movie is the one that I actually was like obsessed with. So I have a theory of why I became obsessed. Like, I'm not joking. I think I watched it and I thought, I just laughed at it. I was like, this is just fucking ridiculous. Like, what are they? Why is it so dramatic? And then I kind of got it. I was like, oh my God. It feels like this being a teenager. Everything does feel like so dramatic. And everything, you feel it deep, don't you? You feel it really deep. Mm-hmm. And I was like, being a teenager is absolutely as dramatic as they show on Twilight. I feel like it's actually very true to life in terms of feelings of feeling in love. Like, you're just going to run away. You're going to marry that boy or person, whoever you're in love with. And like, oh, you know, there's somebody else that you like and all of this, you know.
It's a love triangle. One's a wolf, one's a vampire.
Exactly, the classic love triangle. And so it was just before I was getting married, okay. It was a rainy day and I was in my office working on some crappy emails and also planning my wedding and watching Twilight illegally on my like computer at work whilst planning my wedding, not really doing any work. And I just became obsessed and I was like, I basically wrote fan mail to R. Pats, Robert Pattinson. And I even wrote my number. I was like, here's my number. Just, you know, if you want to ring me, do it. I'm not married yet.
There's still time, R. Pats.
No, there's not. Don't call me. Please don't call me. I've still that number, I think. But No, it, I don't know what came. I think it was like a crisis before I got married, basically. Mm-hmm. I was like, shit, mm-hmm. I'm going to just write. And then if it happens, then I'm not going to get married to Chris. I'll just run off with Robert Pattinson. I think it was like just, yeah, a crisis oh. of some sort, a breaking down.
Sort of a wedding jitters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but like in a really weird way.
That's so cute. I got obsessed, but I didn't write to them.
No, but the soundtrack was really good. For the first movie,
I love that song, Flightless
awesome.
Bird. It's really yeah. lovely. It's really sweet. Mm-hmm. I do it think is. That the way it's the vampires time. Run is really strange. Like it's slow motion, but the trees are moving really fast. There's a brilliant TikTok account. I need to find it, where he does Twilight reenactments and he basically does brilliant impersonations of Kristen Stewart. Because, you know how she's just really bad, like in that film?
Yes.
Yeah. Just a tad.
She's like, I'm just moving my eyebrows a lot. You can't see this on the podcast, so this makes no sense. But her expressions
are
just
entertaining.
Yeah. There's a whole TikTok account. I'm going to find it and I will link it in the show notes, because if you're ever feeling really sad, this will make you cry with laughter.
Oh, okay, I need it.
My sort of crush, actually, when I was a teenager and still to this day, is Joshua Jackson, who played Pacey Witter in Dawson's Creek. And I went through a whole Dawson's Creek marathon, like, I think it was at the beginning of the year. Again, I revisited sort of the teen dramas that I watched. I just love him, just so much. Also in another show, which is a geek heaven, called Fringe. Did any of you ever watch that?
Oh, I totally watched Fringe.
I loved it. It's like X-Files, but more... but less alien-y.
Oh.
But it's still very... Yeah, it's called Fringe. It's very good.
I'm going to need to watch that, it sounds like.
One of the actors on there is on Instagram, and she's an amazing sewist.
Ooh.
Oh, does she sew? Is it the... mixed race, Astrid.
Yes, that was the character's name.
Yeah, I remember her name because I think it's such a beautiful character name, Astrid.
It is a lovely character name. Yeah, she's on Instagram and she's lovely. She's amazing, actually. Her account is totally worth following. And she's this talented, creative human.
Brilliant.
Who makes everything, like literally makes everything, like shoes, bags, pottery, I don't know, like everything.
She just makes things.
Yeah.
And I love that. Aww. I love the multifacetedness of people. Mm-hmm. I'm real, like, did you all get into Game of Thrones? Did you all watch that?
Oh yeah.
Did you not watch it with them? I'm surprised.
No, but I have just watched The Witcher, and it was really great.
I love The Witcher.
I'll tell you why.
I'm on the fence about starting that. Should I start that?
I think
you should totally start that, because they're bringing out the new season by the end of the year.
Yeah.
So you should watch The Witcher. Henry Cavill, oh my God, with blonde hair.
I don't love him. He's very problematic as a person.
Oh, is he?
Is he? I don't really like him, but it's a good show. Like, it wasn't mind-blowing. To be honest, at first, I was really like, this is so shit. And then I was like, oh, I need to find out what's going to happen next. And it's only 8 episodes, and so I'm intrigued. I'm looking forward to the new season to see kind of what happens next. But I think
I'm sad to hear that he's problematic.
Yeah, I think there are better shows than that. Like, for example, mm-hmm. I don't think anybody's watched... hardly anybody has watched... Oh, what's it called? Grimm? I mean, that might be problematic. I haven't watched it for a while, but Grimm was epic.
The movie?
No, it is a series. It's a series. It's really epic. Mm. It's really, really good. And it was on Netflix. I'm not sure if it is now. But it is... It's got werewolves, witches, like everything you can think of. And, guy... He's meant to be, I think he's a descendant from the brothers Grimm. And, they were, the ones who were meant to be catching the creatures and stuff like that. And so, but he befriends a werewolf, and like the early seasons are like, you know, they're a bit clunky, like the graphics and stuff like that, but I don't mind that so much. If it's a really nice dynamic between the two of them. I think it's a really good one.
It reminds me of what you would, when you were just describing it, it reminded me of another series that I've got into when I was like breastfeeding Rafe in the middle of the night, which was Once Upon a Time. It's not
Once is so good.
It's not great, like, from but I loved it. And then I finished watching it.
It's got Robert Carlyle in it.
I know. So I finished watching it thinking that was that, you know, Emma did her thing, she saved the world. And then a random final season came when it was to do with, there was like an extra season that I didn't even know about with the son who plays like the author.
Yeah. Yeah, there is.
And I was like, what the?
Caught me off guard too.
Caught me off guard. I only found out about it this year when I went on Netflix. I was like, holy shit, what's this random thing? So I had to watch it all. So yeah, I think I love how we've like watched some things we've watched together, some things we haven't, but we're like,
I dropped off halfway through, but I watched a lot of that show.
Oh yeah, yeah, quite a bit. It was really good, and I think I did struggle to like, it's kind of one of those things that was like a few series too long.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Like Lost was about 5 seasons too long.
Oh, it literally lost me after season 4.
I did stick with it, but that was
hard work.
The ending was terrible. The ending terrible. Was one of
don't
the
even tell me because I haven't even watched it.
It's not even noteworthy. It was really shit. But another one that I really recommend that people haven't watched so much is Teen Wolf. And I thought it was going to be really shit, but it really surprised me. It had some great characters in it. Gutted that there's not more coming because I was totally into it. And it is, you know, it's like I love YA, like young adult fiction in particular. And I did mention it on another podcast episode, I think. But and Emmy Ito, you might like it also, is The Children of Blood and Bone.
Trilogy.
Oh, I love that. Oh, yes. You
read it? It's so good.
Okay, so are you all caught up? Have you read both books?
I am not caught up.
Okay. Oh my gosh. Okay, I won't say anything. But so the first book, I was hooked in it. Mm-hmm. I loved it, inhaled it. The second book, I read even faster, which was astonishing for me. I was like, wow, what is... And the second book, oh my god, so many twists and turns, and it's just epic, and hopefully that's going to be made into a movie.
And I think it is, right?
Yeah, and I think it's actually Disney doing it, but like Lucasfilm. But I was saying to my friend Patricia, who's into the books as well, like I really think that they need to have like unknown actors, I think, like unknown for it to feel like the books. I think they need to get like actors that we in the West do not, like in the global North, do not know as much, for it to feel really good. But that is, it's just epic. I cannot wait for the third book. I'm just waiting. I keep going on to Tomy's Instagram, like, is it out yet? And I just loved it. But yeah, that I could talk about these things all the time. Like I've watched too many shows, to be honest.
Oh, same. Yeah, it's a little shameful, but
it is, you know, but it's my joy, it's my relaxation. Make peace with it.
Geeking out, I love it.
Me and Emmy Ito have a thing for trash TV as well. I think most of us do secretly.
No, I think that's where I differ, because like I would rather shit in my hands and put it in my eyeballs and watch Love Island or anything like that. Like I just, you know, when you watch something and you're like, my brain is dying, my brain
I used to be like that.
My body. that yeah. I just can't do it. Me and Arsha like share a brain on this one. Like both of us were just like, fucking hell, when are people gonna stop talking about Love Island?
I'll talk to friends about it, but I won't like tweet about it or like put it on Instagram really, because it's kind of like, you know, it's so problematic. And like, I mean, The Bachelorette as well, obviously there's been a lot of furor around it, and like the people watching element, especially in a time where I haven't gotten any real life people watching, you know, so I have to do it on my teddy box.
true that. Cool. Let's move on to Fool of the Week. Sorry, Emmy, but we're going to sing our little jingle to introduce this next section of the show. Because
I can't wait.
We haven't yet recorded an official jingle, and usually we're out of time. So hit it.
One, two, three.
Four. I'm laughing.
Get it together. A one, two, three, four.
Fool of the week. Which one to choose?
So many fools.
Fools.
That's it.
Oh, that was wonderful. You know what? For once, we were actually broadly in sync.
Were we?
Yeah.
It sounded lovely.
Did it?
Yeah. Thank you.
Good.
You're so polite.
That sounded truthful.
Just
take your like earbuds out when we start singing. So, Fool of the Week is a really easy one for me. So we'll go round, and I'm starting because I'm already off on one.
Do it.
The fool of, I mean, there's many fools, but what I'm specifically fooling is, the racist English football fans that targeted Marcus Rashford and Sancho and Saka on their social media and online and everywhere after and during the England final. So yeah, for me, they're all fools, and I'm so gutted for the it's weird because I'm not patriotic, but I was really rooting for the team to do well, because during this whole football tournament that's been happening, the team have consistently been taking the knee at the beginning, at the opening of every game. They've really been exemplary, not just in taking the knee, but some of them outside of their playing ability and how they play games have been doing other things to support their communities, whether that's opening facilities for the youth to provide them more opportunity, or simply feeding school children during the pandemic because they no longer have access to school meals because they weren't actually in the physical school setting, or raising awareness for various causes. That aside, even though they are outstanding humans and players, even if they were just average, or no one deserves to be treated as such, dehumanized, abused, berated in such awful ways. And it really just once again threw into stark, unflattering light the entrenched racism in the UK. And so I don't gel with football anyway. I feel like there's a lot of inequity. I think there's too much money in it. I think that the patriarchy and football, that whole relationship is fucked up. It's white men.
It's toxic.
It's toxic. It's there's so many things and that can get in the bin. And I think what I will do is I will put in the show notes some posts from Everyday Racism. That's what I'm putting in the bin this week. Yep,
they can get in the bin. Insert sure. trash can noise.
Yeah.
Emmy, who wants to go, like to go next?
Let's see. Gosh, Fool of the Week. I would like to call out the institution of the Olympics.
Oh, yeah. Good one.
For their racist targeting of Black women athletes.
Yep.
Has been incredibly upsetting. And also the fact that the Olympics is happening in Japan at all is also complete trash. I mean, my family in Japan is not even vaccinated yet. You can't have any spectators at the events. Last I heard, I think there are folks are being asked to maybe even go on lockdown again is the latest that I've heard. So that is just really hard for me to wrap my brain around, that all of these things are happening. And just, you know, fucking white supremacy, fucking capitalism. It's terrible. So all of that can get in the bin.
Absolutely.
Hey, yeah, I think I read that it was a state of emergency declared in Tokyo yeah. specifically. And then, and I was like, because I might be mispronouncing her name, but yeah, is it Shikari Richardson? Mm-hmm. Is that how you'd say it?
Oh, I don't know.
Shikari, I think.
Shikari.
I could also be wrong.
No, I think that sounds better. Like more right. I wasn't sure because I haven't actually heard it on the news.
I haven't
like,
either. Read it, all, yeah, so. Just reading.
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, because obviously she was disqualified from going, which is bullshit. And I was thinking, do you know what? Maybe it's a good thing that she's not going to, you know, an Olympics in the middle of an ongoing pandemic situation. So, but I really feel for her. I can't wrap my head around it either. I'm with you both on both of those things. Yeah. Nationalism, patriotic.
Yeah.
You know, toxicity and all of that can definitely get in the bin. I'd like to nominate Priti Patel
again
because I mean she already lives in the bin, but to be honest I feel like she keeps just shitting on everything. She's a disgrace and her dad can get in the bin too. Sorry, uncle, not my uncle, but he's getting in the bin as well because he's a UKIP. He wants to like run for UKIP, which is like it's basically a far right that is right pointing left far right organization, like not what are they an, what are they
yeah, political party sorry political party.
They're xenophobic, they're racist, they're just disgusting. And I just think it's just such a perfect example of ingrained supremacy and, you know, colonial thinking that, oh, I'm going to be like the white supremacists, so I'm going to be safe, but actually they're just going to shit you out as soon as they're done with you, you know. The fumes of hypocrisy that kind of emanate from the pile of shit that she has kind of created, it's just disgusting because, you know, it's kind of related to what Rabia was talking about, but she was also saying, oh, it's disgusting being like these footballers gave so much this summer. And I was like, what the fuck? It's beyond the summer. They've been doing it for years, yada, yada. And then she was like, only on social media. And I was like, it wasn't only on social media. It is in real life. But these words are used very specifically. And I know the way that people catch on to them, because I know that I'll be speaking to somebody and they'll be like, oh yeah, but I haven't seen it in real life. Like, nobody's spoken to, like, I haven't heard anybody saying any of that. It's only online, isn't it? It's only on social media where people feel like they can troll and be nasty. And it's like, no, it isn't. It is happening in real life. And it was really disgusting what came after that football match, because it wasn't just racist abuse. It wasn't just monkey emojis and racist emojis. It was a direct call to publicly hurt and, like, lynch.
It was a dog whistle. And the dog whistle already came before England lost, before we lost the penalty shootout. The dog whistle came when Preeti said that she didn't believe in gesture politics, and when Boris said it was okay for fans to boo the England team when they take the knee. They'd already rang the bell, they'd already signified, they'd already basically set the tone and legitimised that behaviour, as they always do.
It's their MO.
That it was okay. Yeah. And they say that because they themselves are racist. We know that Boris Johnson has said some pretty disparaging things about the black community, which I won't repeat. He also said some pretty hurtful things about what women who wear the niqab look like. Again, really harmful. Mm-hmm. So and other stuff. You know, he's also been quite homophobic as well and used derogatory slurs when describing that. So when they give others a pass, it's because they're giving themselves a pass. And this is who we have in power at the moment, you know, in the most senior.
Honestly. And this is, it's been ongoing for what, 10 years?
I mean, it's, yeah.
I can't believe I still live in this country.
I know, Alex and I were literally just saying that we were like, is this it? Do we now need to just make a move? Because honestly, we're not that attached to this godforsaken island.
I mean, really, is there anywhere, though? I just...
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, I think it is everywhere, to be honest. It's in the air really that we breathe.
There's nowhere that it's not, but at the same time, you know, the weather doesn't help. I feel like if the weather was nicer, at least that would be something to give me a reason to stay, you know, but no. I mean, although, luckily, it's been nice today. But anyway, yeah, so Priti Patel, she's always in the bin, but I want to put her dad in there too, and her
awesome.
Again.
I concur. Yeah. I wholly concur. So, from the disgusting to the sublime, pals, what are we loving? What are we loving right now?
What are we loving? What are you loving, Amito?
Let's see. I am loving... My reality TV. Sorry, I am.
No judgment from
and
me.
No apologies.
And
y'all do what you need to do, ma'am.
And just my shows. You know, I'm watching my true crime shows. I'm also watching, this is actually a very legit recommendation, High on the Hog on Netflix is such a beautiful docu-series.
Oh, I've seen it. Yeah.
It's powerful. It's so well done. Like, I just highly recommend that.
I need to watch it.
I don't recommend the reality TV, but I really...
What are you watching? What is your reality
right
TV?
Right now it is... You know, Bachelorette. It's about to be Bachelor in Paradise when that comes out. And then Love is Blind is supposed to be coming out for another season really soon, which I'm
next
shamelessly excited for.
But I'm also loving, like I said, I'm actually reading physical books, the, you know, science fiction. Yeah. Also doing some professional reading in preparation for my new job, and that's also been really inspiring. I do want to shout out Rethinking Schools. They make some amazing publications for educators around revolutionary education, and they have so many great books. So I think that's a, if you're an educator, that's a wonderful resource to check out. So I've been enjoying that a lot. And just being out by the water, like I said, I'm a Cancer crab. So just being by the water just lifts my spirits. Swimming, being with my little one swimming, she's also a water baby. So those things have just been feeding my soul recently.
I love that. I love that. I'm so glad that you're getting all that time to nourish and rest and enjoy and soak up all the things that make you happy in whatever way.
Yeah, it's been great. Yeah.
What about you, Witha?
Oh, you go next.
Do you want me to go next? Yeah, well, I was thinking long and hard about this, and although I could share some new songs which I'm into, which I will, like, in another episode, or I could share that. I've already talked about Loki. I'm really, like, into that. I was just reflecting, like, in this past sort of month or last few weeks, what have I been loving. And the stuff that I've been looking forward to the most is actually with the easing. We've had, like, an easing of lockdown here. I've been able to see more people. So I was able to see, like, my best friend from school. A couple of weeks ago, I was able to drive down to see Witha and do a photo shoot in the flower fields. And then on the weekend, I got the train down and hung out with Aja for the evening. And then the next day, Witha came down. And I've been just really enjoying getting back to friends in a physical capacity. That's been really just nourishing and very much giving me, you know, a lot of joy at the moment. And I am apprehensive with the COVID situation here. Cases are wild. Not everybody is vaccinated. I do think that come September we may be looking at another lockdown if our government continue to be reckless. But dealing these moments has been very much, and we've been very safe and very careful and been taking the tests and all sorts, but having these moments in real life with friends and being able to celebrate our friendships in these different ways has been what I'm loving. And it's really, this pandemic has really made me appreciate that more than ever. So yeah, that's me this month.
Oh, I love that.
What about you, Hans?
What am I loving? Basically the same, to be honest, because yeah, there's not a particular show or anything like that. There are some good shows that I've been watching. I mean, it's good, but it's also very, very dark. But Handmaid's Tale is always good, like, to find it really heavy, though, to be honest. I find it quite hard to watch. That's why I watch, like, Love Island after, because I'm like, Chris, the other episode a couple of weeks ago was really horrible, and I was just like, I should have watched Love Island after, not before, because it's just so mind-numbing, you know. Not mind-numbing, it's just, you know, it's just silly, isn't it? And it is interesting, though. I like that it kind of, you know, pulls me in and gets me to think in a different way. But I don't know if I'm loving it is a stretch, I suppose. But what else am I loving? I'm definitely loving, like, in real life, hugs and laughing and doing things that were just normal once upon a time. And, like, you know, I want my sci-fi and fantasy to stay sci-fi and fantasy. I feel like it's encroaching on life a bit too much. So I feel like I just, yeah, I'm definitely real life embraces and like real life laughter. And, you know, like that's why whenever I think of Emmy Ito, I always think like, I cannot wait until I get to give you a real life hug. And we get to just be in each other's company and, like, not through the air. Not through the ether. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, no, it's very much the same. That is what I'm loving. And my candles. Our Lovely Goods candles. I love them. They're really nice to light. Like, even in summer, it just smells nice in the house. Like, my house is messy, but I was like, at least it smells nice.
Yeah, love it.
But that's kind of what I'm loving. I'm feeling quite like mellow and a bit more cautious. But the things that always bring me the most joy are like taking pictures, being with my friends, eating good food and laughing. Like, you know, quite basic things, but that is what...
It's been
a hard
about.
Fucking year, hasn't it? Year and a half.
What life's
now.
About, babes. Yeah, it has been really long.
Even with my privileges, like, you know, I recognise I have so many privileges in so many ways.
Mm-hmm.
Even
but you're allowed
with
to
all
feel
of those
what you
in
feel.
Place.
You're
yeah.
allowed to feel what you feel. Your reality is your reality and no one's gonna deny that. So
no, for sure. But I do think of how this is like everybody's, like this is somebody's normality in lots of ways, like not being able to do things or being able to have access
for
to
sure.
things or see people and being stuck at home and or like, I don't know, stuck is the right word in that way, sorry, I don't know if that would be ableist, but so I do have that in the back of my mind that actually it has just been a really, really hard time for so many of us, and I really hope that people can connect in person or in ways that bring them sort of comfort and joy with the things that they you know, that make them feel like themselves again, basically. Like, I feel like
yeah,
I feel
definitely.
Most myself having been in the company of those I love.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Oh, what a lovely note to end the podcast on. This has been so much there's just been so much joy in this for me. Thank you so much, Emmy, for coming on today. I've just absolutely loved it. Alex has like called me down for soup twice. I've just ignored him. but yeah, I've absolutely loved it. Thank you so much for being here, and yeah, just
thank you
for everything.
This just is such a joyful way to start, well, because it's morning for me,
yeah. Exactly, thank you so much for being here, like, and right at the start of your day for us.
I know, definitely.
Well, it's such a pleasure, such a privilege. And
before
yeah,
you go
just,
where can people find
yeah, where
you
can
online
people find you?
Oh, okay. So mostly I'm on Instagram, kind of slowed down this summer, but I'm still there.
Okay.
My Instagram handle, yeah, little_kotos, KOTOS _, and then the word closet.
Yeah, lovely. And you have a Patreon.
I do have
which
a Patreon.
I subscribe to, and I love it.
Thank you.
There's like something for everyone, depending on like... what tier you're on, but sometimes I get this brilliant like teaching stuff. Other times I get like some fashiony bits. It's just great. It's like getting a little insight into your world.
Thank you. I'm trying to keep it going.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's been fun. Thank you.
And yeah, just thank you. And I guess we'll see you in episode 2, friends.
Yeah. Outro music.
Yes, we'll play our outro music, which we don't sing ourselves. We actually
do have music.